145. That is what I would like to direct your attention to, a few things. And if something that the Word of God shows you today can help you love God just this much better or this much better, or like some of the teens at camp, their spiritual life is now this much better, then God will have accomplished something really good for you. Psalm 145, actually, these last few psalms, almost every one of them talks about praising the Lord, encouraging the Lord. Oh, does that mean God forgets about sin? No, you will find some statements that teach that God still hates sin. But is not the majority of our life supposed to be having the joy of the Lord intervene in the things we do? Even if something sad happens, even if something very tragic happens, it doesn't steal what the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts. If we're truly saved, where does the Holy Spirit live? Where? If we're saved, where does the Holy Spirit live? In our hearts. You knew that answer, but Pam beat you to it. Thank you, Pam. Hey, if the Holy Spirit is living here, can Satan ever get rid of him? Not according to Scripture. He should be there all the time, guiding us. Hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. Yes, keep doing that. That's how the Holy Spirit is going to guide us, I trust. And Psalm 145 starts out with your decision. Verses 1 and 2 are choices you make. Look at those first verses. I will extol thee. Does that sound like he's already decided what to do? This is David who wrote this psalm. And David's testimony I heard spoken again on the radio this week. David's testimony is a man, can you finish? After God's own heart. Yeah, and he messed up big time too, didn't he? But he is still a testimony of his in Scripture. He is a man after God's own heart. He wrote these words that the Holy Spirit decided to put in the collection of the Jews. The Jews collected these psalms, and they've worshiped God for centuries using these psalms. But David starts out, I will. He's already made the choice. We have to make the choice lots of times if we're going to do something for God. Jesus, how often have you used the word extol? You don't know? You don't use it every day? Do you extol? Does it sound good or bad? Do a thumb up or a thumb down. Give me a vote real quick. Is extol something good or something bad? He gave a thumbs up. Hold it way up high so everybody can see. Are you going to agree with him? Extol is good? Okay. You're both right. I will extol thee. Now, it's a capital thee. So what does that mean, Mark? Capital thee. I will extol thee. It should be a capital thee because it uses the next two words right after, right? My God. He's talking to God. So what does it mean to extol God? Praise. But don't just say praise. Praise! Get excited! This extol is an expression that should be of great joy. I will do it. I will extol thee, O God. Now, I think the next two words give us the reason why he's able to rejoice with God. I will extol thee, O God. What's the next two words? O king. Oh. But David was the king. So now who's he talking to? Whose king is higher than the king of Israel? King Jesus. King Jesus. He's the reason that David decided to give God so much wonderful praise. I like what it says next. And I will bless thy name today. Just today? I will bless... What do you mean, no? You shook your head no, and you're a visitor in our church. I will bless thee. How all? How long? Don't stop. See, this is how I like to teach. I like you guys to participate with me. And these guys are sitting right in my comfort zone. So they're going to get picked on more. But guys, are you extolling God's praise better today than a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a year ago? You see, when circumstances change, we still have to say, I will do it. Now, verse 2 does pretty good matching it. Look what it says. Every day. Yes. Rejoice with God every day. Every day. He will bless thee, God. So now, my question as the teacher is, what's the difference between bless and praise? Oh, they're both the same thing, right? If they are, then God didn't need to use two different words in the Bible. I thought about that. Yes, they're synonyms. But like many other places, there are slight differences in the difference between a blessing and a praise. So... anybody like to share an idea that came to your mind before I share what thought I had? Difference between I will bless thee and praise thee, talking to God. How are they different? Blessing God, praising God.
I think when I praise him, it's more thinking of him as a higher being.
Okay.
And when I bless him, it's when I'm thanking him for being a higher being.
See, the Holy Spirit helped Brother Ascender to think the same thing I am. A blessing is more out of thanksgiving and praise to the God who provided the things that are happening. And then what is praise? It's our response. It's an outward expression. It's doing the things that we know please our wonderful God. I had those exact same thoughts. So, that's good how the Holy Spirit confirms that. And guess what? We might both be wrong. Maybe you have a better answer. Anybody have another answer? What came to your mind? Well, we'll take the majority then because everybody else is being silent. But God does this. David said, I will, I will. Have you decided to do like David? I think he's a great example. Do you every day extol God? Do you give him praise? Do you bless his name? Do you live a life that is pleasing to God so that people who aren't pleasing to God, they can say, hey, you're weird. Yeah? We should stand out as Christians. There's something different about us. Our lives should show we have God the Holy Spirit living inside of us to help us bless and praise the great God of heaven. He deserves it. You say, why is he so selfish? Well, I can think of about a million reasons. He created this universe for us. We should thank him for that. Have you been breathing any of his air lately? I had a variety of things for breakfast, so I have nourishment in my body. He's given me plenty of wonderful thoughts about how I can praise and bless him today. And he even gives me the opportunity to stand up here and yell at you guys for a little while. God is so wonderful. When we see him working out the details of his life, see, Miguel's already been a great blessing to me, and I just met him a few minutes ago. Why, Brother Ascender? You see, what is our mindset? It's the same as, are you going to extol and praise God because of who he is? He's so wonderful. He is the one that deserves glory. People who don't give him credit for it are going to sadly be mistaken. But when God has changed our sinful heart to a sinner who knows that his sins are forgiven and we have the joy of the Lord, those are all wonderful reasons to bless and to praise our wonderful God. Can we jump all the way to verse 3? Can everybody read it with me, please, together? Begin. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We could spend a long time thinking about that. That's one of the memory verses I asked my class to learn for VBS. You still remember it? I don't think you were here Monday night. See, if you would have been here Monday night, you could have practiced that about 20 times. Give God the glory he deserves. He's great. Have you thought about what unsearchable means? Meant, that last word, his greatness is unsearchable? Are you ever going to completely understand God? It's impossible. Do you feel the same way? Excellent example, Job. What did God do for him? Killed all of his children. No. Allowed Satan to take them, and then restored them later. Would God do that for me? Amen. Yes! If we let him, if we give him the praise he deserves, his greatness is unsearchable. Jump down to verse 5. I'm going to have to skip some of the verses, or I'll be here till 12 o'clock teaching Sunday school. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. That's talking to God again. I will speak of his honor, his majesty, and of thy wondrous works. Like what? Can you share a wondrous work God has done for you in the last week? Besides camp. Can't use camp again, Mr. Mendez. Anything else that God has taught you from his word? It's a wonderful work. I'm thinking of seeing John's truck parked over at that other building. He's been doing some wonderful work around here. I don't know what he was working on in the other building. More lights? Is that what you were working on? Uh-huh. Anything you do for God. Anything. Have we recovered from VBS yet? Have we? No. Some of us still say no. Haven't shaken off the excitement. God has to restore that strength and that energy. There's not going to be another meeting like that for, if we can convince Pastor to do two short sessions rather than one hot summer session, maybe in the fall we'll have a mini Vacation Bible School when it's nicer and cooler again. And we feel like staying outdoors. Wondrous works. Make a list. It'll give you something to extol the Lord for, to bless his name. I love verses 8 and 9. Here's two things that should define what we think of the Lord doing for us. It says, the Lord. David gives him credit. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Do any of us need compassion? Do we need God's compassion? What is gracious? Well, that's the adverb for grace. Right? Pastor mentioned it just last Sunday. What is the difference between grace and mercy? Gracious. Who would like to share? What's gracious? Grace. Getting good things we don't deserve. We don't deserve air to breathe, but God created the world with this atmosphere. By the way, the perfect percentage of oxygen so that our bodies can stay healthier and strong and vibrant. Yes? He's gracious, just supplying what we need. There's a verse later on that I think gives a shocking statement to me. I've contemplated it quite a bit since I've been studying and memorizing the psalm. But the Lord is gracious. How does verse 8 finish? Tender mercies. How are they different? Because mercies are different than grace. Mercy is different from grace. If grace is not getting good things we don't deserve, mercy is not getting the discipline we do get, should deserve. That's where mercy comes in. And it's not just mercy in this verse. It's tender mercy. Mrs. Sanchez has to have some tender mercy with Sarah. Little baby, can't do anything themselves. Tender mercy. God, that's God's relationship for each of us as his children. We get graciousness and tender mercy all together. Verse 9 tells us more about our Lord. The Lord is good to all. Uh-oh. Whenever Pastor reads all, what does he always say after it? All is all, and all means all, and that's all it means. God is gracious to all unsaved people? Yeah, because they breathe the same air we breathe. They drink the same water we drink. They live lives based upon God's graciousness. That's the only reason they can stay alive, is because of what God has provided them. Even the worst sinner you can ever think about. This verse says, God is good to all. What is the hidden message? He's hoping that they will turn to salvation and find their home in heaven. That's where his tender mercies come in. But he's good to all. The rest of verse 9, his tender mercies are over all his works. Again, all of his works. Are you glad you can be a part of this family of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because there are far better blessings for obedient children. Right? Obedient children get more blessings than disobedient children. Right? Right? Yes? Well, we're God's children. Everybody is. But some have their sins forgiven and have an eternal home. You can know that. Verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord. Even unsaved people, do their works praise the Lord? In a way, yes. They show that God has designed everything in the universe so that it operates well, and their bodies operate successfully. Even people who don't have the assurance of salvation. How are they going to learn of this God that cares enough to give them a home in heaven? It's up to us. And that's why I'm so thankful for those that are going out and sharing that message. Because it is accomplishing more of God's goodness. The end of verse 10. Thy saints shall bless thee. You see, every creature is a part of God's works. Plant life is a part of God's work. They glorify God just by existing. Studying biology and the botany part of biology. How could people think that those plants developed from a single cell algae? And where did the single cell algae come from? Even a single cell algae has so many complicated processes happening in it, it couldn't survive itself. It needs things from the environment to make the algae, that one-celled living plant, yet alone a tree that's as tall as a 10-story building. Yeah. God has works, everything in nature, and we're a part of that. But the saints, how are saints different than the rest of God's works? Quentin, what do you think? How are saints different than the rest of God's works? They're humans, but they're a special category of humans, saints. Brother Sanchez? Saved individuals that have trusted Christ. We're saints, according to what Scripture calls us. And what does it say the saints will do? They will bless God. Do you spend at least 30 minutes a day thanking and blessing God? Say, I can't take that long. Okay, take 5 minutes. And if you start spending 5 minutes every single day blessing and thanking God, you're going to find out that 5 minutes isn't enough. Because your blessing should keep growing and growing and growing. And guess what? You don't have to do the 30 minutes all at one time. Just bless him all day long. Find things to be thanking him for. But that's what the saints are going to do. So if you saints, bless God. It's the way that we should live. I like verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. It was good back when David was alive, and that was about 3,000 years ago, because David was, in my timeline, is about 1,000 B.C., in the 900s at least. And then the 2022, 1 and 2 is how many, Jesus? Did you like that magic? 1 and 2. Make 3. Right? Can you do that sometime? Not right now. About 3,000 years. Do they still work? Are you sensing him working in your life today? That'd be really good. Here's one of my shocking statements. Verse 15. The eyes of all wait upon thee. That thee again should be a capital thee for God. Does every set of eyes wait on God? I had to think about what the meaning of wait is there for a while. Is it just, okay, I'm going to sit here and wait for God? What do you think? Do you think that's the kind of wait this verse is talking about? No. Which one do you think? You're not going to vote? Agree with your sister this time. I don't think it's sitting around waiting. Okay, most of us like going out to eat. And how are we going to get our food? A what? Somebody's going to bring it to us. A waiter, waitress, server. Is that the kind of wait it is? All the works are going to wait on thee? No, because there's a lot of unsaved people that are so selfish they don't give God one moment of their thinking. In fact, they even reject any thinking about God. And their minds are not reasonable for a person who learns the scripture and wants to follow the scripture. So that's strike three for wait. What does wait mean? Here's my answer. I'm waiting on God to give me what I need. Even unsaved people have to wait for that. They have to wait on God to give them what they need. Physical needs. And our prayer is that God will help them to decide they need God's spiritual needs as well. That's the only meaning of wait that made sense in my thinking. When it says all are waiting on God. They're not serving him. They're not just sitting around waiting. They're looking, and God will keep providing their needs. And why does that maybe make sense? Because look at the rest of verse 15. Thou givest them, which is all these eyes that it talked about, the people with eyes, the animals with eyes, even, I think. I lost my verse. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Physical needs. That's the meaning of that meat. Verse 16, I love this verse. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. That's why we're waiting on God. But I got hung up on that word desire. Did you get hung up on that word desire? The Bible says that we as Christians, God will give us the desire of our heart. But this is still talking about the all in verse 15. What about unsaved people? Does God give them all their desires too? I can't answer that. I would have to say all still means all. I can't figure it out. But see if you can chew on that a little while and see if the Lord gives you some insight. I don't have the answer to that one yet. How that God can give the unsaved people all their desires. But it has to be true because the Word of God says it. I like verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. You have a desire that you know God is working in your heart? Keep seeking the truth. Those desires for sure will be met. Guaranteed. Verse 20. The Lord preserveth all that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. See, there's two more uses of all. One good, one not so good. But it's true. With all the joy and the blessing, God still is holy. He is going to punish the wicked. It may not look like they're getting punished right now, but this is not the final punishment. We have got to walk with God. So we started with David at the beginning saying, I will and I will. Now this is David's ending verse, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord. Did I give you any ideas of reasons why you should praise God a little bit better today? Why you should praise God better tomorrow, every day? For how long did the verse say we're going to bless thee forever and ever? Do it while we're alive now. Only makes sense. Is your life so perfect that you don't need more of God's blessings and mercy? Mine isn't. Could still have desires I would like him to fulfill. But God has to do it. David says, my mouth shall speak. It started with his desire, I will extol, I will bless. But it changed his life in verse 21. My mouth shall speak. Let your mouth speak the blessings of God. Finishing in verse 21, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Pretty good ending. Are you going to let something that the Word of God spoke to you about make a difference? That's a choice we all have to make. Let's pray.